Hi, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. We will begin on the front page of the paper with an article entitled, Measles Scare Prompts Interest in Vaccination. No McLean County cases, but officials remain cautious. As Jaleesa Davis waited Tuesday for her one-year well baby checkup and vaccinations, including the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, her Bloomington parents were matter-of-fact about why she was getting her shots. To help protect her from these diseases, said her mother, Brandy Davis, 32, and her husband, Joshua, 28, agreed. To keep her safe and healthy, Brandy Davis added at OSF Healthcare Medical Group Pediatrics, 302 St. Joseph Drive, Bloomington. Jaleesa isn't alone. Since measles numbers began increasing nationally and statewide earlier this year, more parents are making sure their children are vaccinated as soon as they are eligible to get the MMR. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, recommends that children get one dose of the MMR vaccine at 12 to 15 months old and a second dose at 4 to 6 years old. Both are required by the state of Illinois before a child enters kindergarten. Before, some parents waited until their child was about to begin kindergarten before agreeing to their child's second MMR dose, said Samina Yosef, pediatrician with OSF Healthcare Medical Group, and Dr. Aaron Traeger, pediatrician with Advocate Children's Medical Group, both in Bloomington. Now a lot of them are saying they want to get it done at age 4, Traeger said. In my own practice, in recent weeks, there has been much more discussion of vaccinations and a push by parents to have it done as soon as recommended, said Yosef. More people want to have it done at 4 years old rather than 6, and I love that. In April, Advocate Children's Medical Group began contacting parents whose children are not fully vaccinated and encouraging them to immediately call their pediatrician. They've said thank you for protecting us, Traeger said. CDC reported Tuesday that there have been 880 measles cases nationwide since January 1st, which is the highest number since 1994. Statewide, there have been 7 confirmed measles cases so far this year in Champaign, Cook, and DeKalb counties, said Melanie Arnold of the Illinois Department of Public Health. There have been no measles deaths. McLean, Macon, and Coles counties have had no confirmed measles cases, said representatives of those counties' health departments. Still, Central Illinois medical professionals remain concerned. It's really pretty alarming that we have the highest number of measles cases since 1994, Yosef said. In 1989 to 90, there were 55,000 measles cases in the United States and 123 deaths. Most of the cases involved people who weren't vaccinated or who had only one dose, Yosef said. For that reason, 2 doses have been recommended since 1989, and the disease was declared virtually eliminated in the United States in 2000. But measles outbreaks in pockets of the country where people haven't been vaccinated have health officials worried. Some people have pointed to a study from several years ago that drew a link between the MMR vaccine and autism, but that paper has been debunked, both Traeger and Yosef said. Parents need to make sure their children are up to date on their vaccines, added Carol Carlton, Macon County Health Department Director of Clinical Nursing Services. Getting those 2 MMRs are important, she added. People not getting their children vaccinated are putting their children at risk. At the health department, our mission is to keep communities safe and healthy, and vaccines are a major way to keep communities safe and our children healthy, said Mara Hildebrand, Coles County Health Department Director of Nursing. Vaccination is the most effective measles prevention, agreed Melissa Graven, McLean County Health Department Communicable Disease Supervisor. People who are vaccinated also protect people who can't be vaccinated, such as children under 12 months old and people going through cancer treatments, Yosef said. Statewide, 98.1% of school children were vaccinated for the 2018-19 school year, according to the Illinois State Board of Education. McLean County averages 98% in school-aged children for the MMR vaccine, Graven said. In Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Moultrie, and Shelby counties, all of our school districts are greater than 96%, said Kyle Thompson, Assistant Regional Superintendent of Schools. Macon County schools are averaging 98 to 100% compliance, according to the State Board of Education. While schools in McLean, DeWitt, Logan, and Livingston counties are close to 100% compliance, Regional Superintendent Mark Jontry would like it to be 100%. Get your kids vaccinated, he said. And here are, from Dr. Aaron Traeger, the symptoms of measles. Measles symptoms include a rash at the hairline that spreads down the body, high fever, cough, sore throat, runny nose, red and watery eyes, and spots in the mouth. Measles happen to people exposed to the virus and who are not sufficiently protected by vaccination. In rare cases, serious complications can happen, such as pneumonia. If you suspect measles in your child, call your health care provider first before bringing the child in. The child would be tested away from other patients to reduce the spread if the child does have the disease. Zoo euthanizes flamingo hit by rock. Child accidentally hurt bird in habitat, parks director said. A flamingo at Miller Park Zoo was euthanized Monday after it was struck by a rock. A juvenile guest accidentally injured a flamingo on Monday by skipping a rock into the habitat. Jay Tetzloft, director of the city-owned Zoo and Parks, Recreation and Cultural Arts Department, said in an email Tuesday afternoon. Unfortunately, staff determined the best course of action, given the animal's injuries, was to euthanize the bird, said Tetzloff, adding, a leg was broken by a rock. Prior to the incident, the zoo had 25 flamingos in the exhibit. Located near the entrance, the exhibit makes the flamingos the unofficial zoo greeters. This was a truly unfortunate accident, and we're working with the juvenile's family to move forward, said Tetloff, adding, the zoo sees no change the layout of the exhibit. When the flamingos exhibit opened in June 2016, it was the first project in the zoo's $16.7 million master plan and the first new exhibit since 2004. About half of the $300,000 flamingo project came from private sources. The city committed $150,000 to the project. The project had to be downsized, redesigned, and rebid after four bids submitted in 2015 came in higher than the anticipated cost for design and construction. To save money, an island was eliminated from the plan, and city employees did demolition and landscaping work and built the fence around the exhibit. As another cost-saving measure, the zoo decreased the original flock size of 35 flamingos. At more than 20 flamingos, Miller Park Zoo still will have one of the largest flocks housed at zoos in the country, said Tetzloff. Some residents opposed to the city spending money for a flamingo exhibit had previously protested by bringing plastic versions of the pink birds to city council meetings and planting them in their yards. Today's Flick Fact. Illinois State University today is a sprawling campus that stretches to virtually all parts of Normal. Can you name the location of the very first class at ISU? And the answer? Here's the coincidence. The first class wasn't even in Normal. Instead, it was at Front and Center Streets in downtown Bloomington. A parking garage is there today, but back in 1857, it was the site of Majors Hall, where all ISU classes were held for the first 4 years. There are some road closures. Bryan Street in Normal, the intersection of Bryan and Kaiser Streets in Normal, is closed for water main installation through the intersection. It is expected to be closed for about 1 week. Bryan Street from Grove to Coolidge is closed, except for local traffic, until the completion of the water main replacement project. Also, Fort Jesse Road and Beach Street in Normal. Fort Jesse Road at the Union Pacific Railroad tracks is closed for crossing repairs until 6 a.m. Wednesday, weather permitting. Beach Street at the Union Pacific Railroad tracks will be closed for crossing repairs from 9 p.m. Wednesday to 6 a.m. Thursday, weather permitting. Repairs are being performed by Union Pacific. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd, and it's the 142nd day of 2019. There are 223 days left in this year. Today's highlight, on May 22, 1992, after a reign lasting nearly 30 years, Johnny Carson hosted NBC's Tonight Show for the final time. Jay Leno took over as a host 3 days later. How Time Flies. This is the local How Time Flies. 100 years ago, on May 22, 1919, Willie Ratliff, 16, alleges that his five uncles beat him with a rubber hose. All five men are prominent Leroy men, including a state representative. This began with a family quarrel over stolen eggs and the use of the family car. Now the state's attorney is investigating. 75 years ago, on May 22, 1944, Arnold Campbell, 38, was electrocuted as he tried to operate an electric drill on the Switters farm near El Paso. At the coroner's inquest, it was determined he tried to bore a hole through a galvanized water tank while he stood on wet ground. 50 years ago, on May 22, 1969, the Reverend William McCauley, formerly of Normal, has died at the age of 103. He was pastor twice at the University Christian Church, once from 1908 to 1911, and then again in 1935 to 1936. He came back to University Christian once more in 1965 and preached one day after his 100th birthday. And 25 years ago, on May 22, 1994, more than 400 IWU seniors were awarded their diplomas as State Farm CEO and President Edward Rust Jr. admonished them that school is never really over. Continuing with some more local news, houses roll changing. Jefferson Street Community House to become a home. Bloomington's Jefferson Street Community House will someday be the new home for a deserving resident or family looking to set down long-term roots in Bloomington, say officials from Mid-Central Community Action. That has always been the intended purpose for it, said MCCA Executive Director Deb White. Through a joint collaboration between the Bloomington Police Department, MCCA, and the West Bloomington Housing Collaborative, 2 years ago, the house was converted into a community house, a place where West Side residents and Bloomington police could build a stronger community relationship. The house was one of 13 acquired by MCCA using state grant money specifically designed for rehabbing distressed properties through the Attorney General's office. Through an agreement, the BPD leased the property for $1 per month. On Monday, officials announced the timeline for the grant was expiring and the community house at 828 West Jefferson would be closed and prepped for resale. It really served its purpose during that time, said Mark Cott, the Director of Resource and Community Development for MCCA. We feel from the feedback we have received, the neighbors did have the opportunity to build and improve relationships with the police department, and that was the goal for that project from the start. The Bloomington Police Department hosted various events at the house since it opened in June 2017. Since then, there were 630 attendees at 21 different events, with 39 volunteers performing 431 hours of community service, White said. When the MCCA and city officials announced the plan, some neighborhood residents objected, fearing it would become a substation for police. The feedback from nearby residents more recently has been positive, White added. One resident told us, "The work they have done goes beyond these four walls, and we don't need the walls anymore." Work will continue on rehabbing the home for a future homeowner, White added. A shower needs to be installed, but the city already made the home ADA compliant, and it has a wheelchair ramp and a wider door for any resident who might use a wheelchair. Once the rehab work is done, it will be available for sale, but that isn't expected to be until later this summer. "We are still completing the analysis on what the listing price will be," she said. Anyone interested in the property or any of the other properties available should contact MCCA's HUD Certified Housing Counselor, Lead Financial Coach Kathy Schubert at 309-834-9342 or email her at the Kathy Schubert Financial Coach and Housing. Kathy's at mccainc.org. County Board honors Wasson. McLean County will soon have a permanent reminder to follow in the footsteps of its retiring county administrator. A road at the Comlara Park campground will be renamed Wasson Way in honor of Bill Wasson, who will retire June 1st after 34 years with the county, including 22 years as Parks and Recreation Director and 8 in the top job. "The compliments are greatly appreciated, but the policy leadership that the county administrator's office and all of our staff implement on a daily basis comes from the county board," said Wasson. "I appreciate everything, and I know that the county is in good hands as it moves forward." The McLean County Board on Tuesday presented Wasson with not only a commemorative street sign, but also a proclamation celebrating his time and accomplishments with the county, including his leadership on a mental health initiative that board member Susan Schaefer said is now nationally renowned. It's to his credit that we are known nationally for the Behavioral Health Initiative, she said. Thank you, Bill, for all the work you've done. Last month, the board named County Health Department Director Camille Rodriguez as Wasson's successor, concluding a months-long search. In other business, the board approved a social media policy for county officials and employees. The policy mandates anyone who works for or on behalf of the county government maintain a courteous social media presence, including no discriminatory, sexual, defamatory, threatening, profane, illegal, copyright infringing, or otherwise inappropriate posts. Though county-affiliated social media accounts are not to be used for campaigning by elected officials or for political activity, elected officials may maintain separate accounts for political purposes, said Wasson. The county board voted to exempt itself from the policy, regardless. We clearly do not speak for the county. We speak for ourselves, said board member Jacob Beard, who proposed the exemption. We need to communicate with constituents. I would not want to be limited in that way. Board members Bill Casely and Randall Martin voted no on the amendment. They told the Pantograph after the meeting they object to being held to a different standard than other county elected officials and employees. I just don't like it when members of a governing body say, we're going to establish this policy for everybody else but not us, said Casely. The county board also approved a 3-year contract for a new mental health service to be offered by the county. Chestnut Health Systems will get $68,000 per year to fund a 1.5 full-time employee for the Frequent User Systems Engagement, or FUSE, program. FUSE will identify, in each of the next 5 years, 10 individuals with severe and chronic mental illness who have used homeless services, emergency departments, and law enforcement to address their behavioral health problems and then link them to support services. That's one of 3 new programs the county is starting this year to address mental health service gaps in the area. The others are telepsychiatry and a triage center for crisis evaluation. Heartland OKs 3-year pact with adjunct faculty. The Heartland Community College Board approved a contract with its adjunct faculty, which provides salary increases over the next 3 years, after a brief closed session at its monthly meeting Wednesday night. The Heartland Adjunct Faculty Association approved the agreement earlier in the day. The contract provides for a flat dollar amount increase in the rate of pay per credit hour. The flat dollar amount was determined by applying an across-the-board percentage for each of the 5 tiers of adjunct faculty and averaging the resulting increases. For the lower tiers, the increase amounted to a higher percentage to keep the gap between tiers from widening too far, explained Heartland President Keith Cornile. Overall, the increase averages to 2.5% the first year, 2.5% the second year, and 2% the third year. Negotiations have been going on since January. The current contract, approved in June 2016, expires on June 30th. In explaining why negotiations went smoothly, Cornile said after the meeting, "We have a very good relationship with the adjunct faculty." During the meeting, he said Heartland has instructors committed to our students and our students' success. a 3-year contract with the Heartland Faculty Association, representing full-time faculty members, was approved last year and runs through fiscal year 2021. The board also approved monthly rates and insurance providers for Heartland's employee insurance program at an overall increase in cost of 4.9%. The college covers 100% of the premium for the employee only and 45% of the premium for dependents. The college made some changes in the plan, such as increasing copays to hold down costs. It also will draw down some of the balance in its self-insurance fund. Money in that fund cannot be used for any other purpose, noted Doug Minter, Vice President of Business Services. College officials will be closely monitoring claims and their impact on the fund balance. Minter said if the balance falls below what is considered a 3-month reserve, that would be a trigger to review the plan. Such a review could result in a mid-year premium shift, which could change what employees pay toward their premium, said Minter. Sale of new Bloomington Normal homes slowing. Fewer new homes are being built in Bloomington Normal compared to last year, according to statistics released by the Bloomington Normal Association of Realtors. Figures released on Monday represent sales of homes during the first 3 months of the year, in which sales of only 9 newly constructed homes were finalized. Last year, 22 new homes were sold in the first 3 months of the year, representing a decrease of 59% for 2019. The average price for a new home is 3.7% lower than a year ago. The 9 homes sold averaged $278,978 each, while the 22 homes sold last year averaged $289,697, a decrease of $10,719. Danelle Moberly, president of the Bloomington Normal Association of Realtors, said she isn't worried. We've seen that trend in the past 2 years, and our existing sales remain strong because it's a better value for consumers right now, said Moberly, who's a realtor with Boulevard Realty Group. Our inventory is still low, and that is because the previously sold houses are not staying on the market very long. Overall, 454 homes were sold January through March, just 6 off of last year's pace. Of the 445 previously owned homes sold, the average price was $168,357, an average increase of $8,396, or 5.2% from last year. As the weather continues to improve, total home sales are also on an upward trend. There were 121 units sold in January, which 133 more in February, and 200 finalized in March. Of the 200 sold in March, the average price was $171,626, which was an average increase of $4,309 over the 133 homes sold in February. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. Please stay tuned.